WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning. I trust you're having a good day today. We want to welcome you to the broadcast Let's Face the Issues. In the absence of our Dr. Youngblood, who's taking an immediate day off, this is Dr. Neil Phelps, one of the professors here at the university. We welcome you, and we are glad that you're tuning in today. Our program is dedicated to seeking the truth when facing issues concerning or related to God's Word. And that's what we're going to be talking about primarily today. The subject today is the Bible trustworthy. Is the Bible trustworthy? We believe that the Scriptures are God's inspired truth. And we're going to be speaking today concerning this matter of the heritage of the Scriptures. And we trust that if you're interested, you may want to call in and offer your comments or questions. And the number to call is 831-0917. We trust you're having a good day. Hope you're listening with both ears today. We have a problem today with understanding what the Bible is all about, the theme of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, or rather, we might put it this way, the theme of the Bible. We're going to be speaking primarily concerning that today. So we hope you will listen, and we trust that you'll be edified. I have something I'd like to share with you about the program and the radio messages that we hear each day. This program is partially sponsored by Tools for a Time, an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to start your own landscaping and lawn care business. We want you to know that this can be a place where your needs may be met if you're a homeowner, with brands like Honda and Echo. And in times of trouble, weather, hurricane preparedness, you can find what you need, for they have a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about power backup equipment. So they have a full line of chainsaws for hurricane cleanup and so forth. And they're located at Old St. Augustine Road, where 295 meet. And you can know that you're at the right location because there's a great flag that's flying over the business. At the foot of that flag staff, you'll find Tools for a Time. So today, we want you to be prayerful, and if you're interested in asking questions, feel free to call in. 831-0917. Now, I have with me Dr. Davis, one of our professors here. And Dr. Davis, will you please give us some comments today about where we're going and what you would like to share with our people?
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Phelps, and I truly consider it a great honor and a blessing to be here on today with you, amen, giving, amen, our good, amen, friend, pastor, and mentor, amen, Dr. Youngblood, a much-needed rest, a break, amen, from things, amen. He wears a lot of hats around here, amen, and I think we're going to have to take those running shoes off his feet, amen, today, and just let him sit down and relax, amen, and enjoy the program. So we certainly hope, amen, that we're able, amen, to carry on in his absence and to be able to invite callers to call in 904-831-0917. That call will get you to the studios, right to our microphones. There we can entertain your questions and comments, amen. We're going to be talking about, as Dr. Phelps said, amen, is the Bible trustworthy, amen? And I truly hope that all of those who have been born again, Dr. Phelps, will know and understand that we are the custodians of the Word of God. I hear Dr. Youngblood say that on this program daily, amen, how the church is the custodians of the Word of God. If anybody should know the truth, the church ought to be the one that really knows the truth. And then we are supposed to be the ones that are able to communicate that to a lost and dying world. So we want you to listen up intently on today and hope and pray that you will get something, amen, from this discussion on today that we're having. Is the Bible trustworthy? A question. Ask yourself that question, and I hope and pray that you can give the right answer. Amen? Amen.
Thank you so much, my brother. We're so thankful that we have a Bible today. In many countries, people do not have the truth, and therefore they are missing out on some wonderful things that affect our lives for time and eternity. One of the things that I discovered was there are some countries where the Bible is outlawed. If you're caught with a Bible, and it has been so in past time, that a person could be executed by the officer that's on the charge of that scene. But I'm so thankful that we live in a country where there is still freedom of religion in this sense. We can have our own Bible. When I was in Japan during the Korean conflict, that's many years ago, there wasn't no Bible on the campus or on the location where we were, northern Hokkaido, Japan, place called Makabetsu's. But we had the privilege of getting on the train and going 250 miles south near Sapporo, where there was a chapel. I went 1 week down there. It was my turn to take the trip. And we went by train down there, and as we attended the church service in the chaplain's quarters, there were Bibles that you could take. They were free. And I'm so thankful that that was so. So I took one, put that in my luggage with me back to the unit where I was, 8217 Army Signal Unit there in Makabetsu, Japan. And shortly after, began a Sunday school, in a sense. I didn't know about church order or how to do things, because I was a new Christian and I didn't know too much about church. And so we were able to use that Bible then just to read. I would read some verses from Scripture. We would say the Lord's Prayer and we would sing some songs. That's all I knew how to do. But that should be true of every church. There needs to be the reading of the Word of Truth.
Yes.
There
yes.
needs to be some praise to our God, and singing of praises to Him is a good thing to do. And also, we find that there were some people who were impressed by that, some of the Japanese people, and they wanted to come to the service.
Yes.
So that's something of my background. I'm so thankful that a sixth grade teacher took time from her lunchtime to listen to me to try to say verses of Scripture. And so that was the beginning with me. At about the grade six, I began to hide the Word of God in my heart. And I'm so thankful that I did, because God instilled in me a respect for the Scriptures and respect for the name of God. We have a great heritage. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we're told concerning the Word of God in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The Bible can instill hope in people who are without hope.
Amen.
I'm so thankful about that. In Psalm 119, we have some comments about the Word of God. As we read through it, you find it's all about the Scriptures. In verses 111 and following, we have the mention of the Word of God in these words: "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." The testimonies of God are things that God says or God teaches, especially about Jesus, for God made some promises in the Scriptures, even in the Old Testament, concerning the person and work of Jesus, God's Son. And so the testimonies are the words that God spoke concerning the Messiah, the Christ, concerning his ministry on earth, and also concerning the future millennial kingdom.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And that just about covers everything that you really need to know if you are looking for answers in the Scriptures.
Amen.
So we want to mention some things about the heritage of the Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures are of great value in so many ways. First of all, I'd like to say that we have the reliable account of all things, the origin of all things. There's the formation of everything recorded in the Book of Truth, and that makes the Bible the most accurate source of truth about how things began, about the formation of the earth and everything. And one of the things I'd like to mention is also is that we learn about the family of Israel. Now that's important, because you see, God formed a family of people through whom Christ would come into our world, be born into the human family, and also to give us the Scriptures.
Yes.
So also, not only the formation of everything, but the family of Israel, but the facts about all things. Having the Old Testament Scriptures, we learn the answers to everything in life.
Amen.
Therefore, we have a better perspective, or what we call a biblical world view.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Dr. Phelps, I would just like to say right there, you know, I have been speaking with people in various circles concerning the Bible, the Word of God, and we also can look at it from another perspective, and it's the truth in context, because the Bible is also the instruction manual. When we consider, when we buy things from the store right now, doesn't matter what we buy, hardly, if it's an article of furniture or some piece of equipment, or even when we buy our new cars, it comes with an instruction manual in the car pocket.
Amen.
And it tells us, Dr. Youngblood, I'm sorry, Dr. Phelps, amen, thinking about Dr. Youngblood today, God bless you, love you so much, amen. But Dr. Phelps, so many times people fail to read that instruction manual that comes along with the car, in the car pocket. It stays, it's just like the Bible. Christians mostly don't pick up the Bible, so-called Christians. They throw the Bible in the corner Monday through Saturday, and they don't pick it up till Sunday. Same thing happens with your car. The instruction manual tells you how to troubleshoot the car when there's certain problems coming up. It tells you how to drive the car under certain conditions, et cetera, et cetera. It tells you about the periodic service that needs to happen. Well, when we consider the Bible, it's the same. It represents the same thing for us today. It gives us the instruction how to troubleshoot problems in life. God has already given us the answer right there. But when we fail to read it, we get in trouble. And sometimes some people get ready to throw the towel in because they don't know the answer, because they fail to pick up the instruction manual, which is the Bible.
Amen. That's well said. It reminds me, in my experience down through the years, I've had trouble with cars. One that I owned in 1960 was a car that had a manual that came with it about how to fix it. Now, you don't find that true today. And I was so thankful for that. There was a time when the head gasket, head gasket and some other parts came apart inside that car. And so I knew it was going to cost a lot of money. So I got the manual out, looked at it, and I was able to take that motor apart. I'm not a mechanic. And I was able to find the parts and fix the timing chain and all that broke with that, and put it back together, and it worked.
All right. Amen. Amen. And you see, the same thing will happen for us in life. The Bible will work for you.
Yeah.
If you learn how to follow the instructions that are there. Listen, God, once again, not only is it the instruction manual, but it's God's revelation to us of Him. He didn't need to know who He is or who He were. We're the ones that needed to know who Holy God is. Yeah. And we needed to know how to commune with Him. There would be no fellowship with God in the proper sense or in the proper perspective without the instructions contained in the Bible. And it tells us, Dr. Phelps, that we can't approach Him on any ground. If we are sinful, we have not confessed our sins and repented and been born again and filled with God's Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8 even tells us, and I believe that's around verse number 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. God will not even claim you. Now, listen, some people, they put up the argument and say, oh, we are all God's children from creation because God created us all. That's true in a sense, but then we went astray. When we sinned, our fellowship was broken with Him by that sin. And the only way that we can be reconciled back to God, it is through His Son, Jesus Christ. As you said earlier, He sent the way for us to be reconciled back to Him, but it costed Christ His life. And this is the reason why we should not take the Bible for granted. We should not take God for granted. We should not take salvation for granted. Amen. Because it costed God's Son His life. And if we love Him, then we'll commit ourselves to Him.
Amen. You're very true in what you just said. In one of the remarks I noticed there is about the names of God. The Bible tells us, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee.
Amen.
That's Psalm 19. So in many of the Old Testament scriptures, God introduces Himself to mankind.
Amen.
And that is so important. You cannot have a fellowship with God without knowing His name.
Amen.
And
amen.
So God's names are mentioned throughout the Word of God. That's one of the great features of the Bible. And I was reminded of a passage of Scripture in the Psalms, Psalm 83. I'm going to turn to that passage, and Psalm 83 and verse 18. Here's one of the places where God introduces Himself by name. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Now that's one of the great names of God is found in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, most of us recognize that we have the name of Jesus that is prominent.
Amen.
And that is the name of our Savior. God introduces himself throughout the Word of God so that we'll come to know him better and know that his names mean something wonderful to us. The study of the names of God is a wonderful study, and that's part of the Word of God. I'm so thankful that that is true. Now, we're going to talk about, is the Bible trustworthy? One of the things I'd like to begin with is to speak of the validity of the Scriptures. Are the Scriptures reliable? Are the Scriptures then trustworthy? Are they true? How do we know the Bible is true? Well, one of the ways is because God has given us some evidences of the truthfulness of the Scriptures. And I like to say it like this, that there are at least seven things that are designed in heaven and displayed on earth as evidences of the intervention and revelation of the only true God. I'll mention some of those briefly. First of all, you have creation, and that's the revelation of the Creator. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Creation, you see, is the handiwork of God. The testimony of creation is all around us, so that no one has any excuse for unbelief. In Romans 1:18, the Apostle Paul stated that many people refuse to allow the truth of the Scriptures to be the final authority in life. And one of the reasons for that is they reject the idea of a creator. So there were two critical errors of Paul's generation and of our generation, and that is, number one, people will not receive the truth of the Scriptures, and some people will not retain the only true God in their thoughts, and that's from Romans 1:18 through 28. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Scriptures tell us that God is not pleased when people refuse to hear the truth of the Scriptures. Now, since this generation refuses to receive the truth, then we have what has taken place in our generation, beginning of this problem with unbelief throughout all America and throughout many countries. And this problem of unbelief has affected every area of our country. The government has affected education, affected churches. People are grossly affected by this problem that we have.
Amen. When we consider, Dr. Phelps, what you just got finished saying, God has given us fair warning in his word, in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to turn there just for a minute. Hebrews, and I believe that's chapter 4. I was just sitting down reading that on the other night. When the Israelites did not believe in him, this is what the writer of Hebrews had to say, Hebrews 4 and 1. He said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us," that's the present generation, "was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," speaking about Israel, "wandering around in the wilderness." He said, "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So it means the same thing for us today. When we hear this word, if we don't become believers, if we don't mix the word with faith, it's not going to profit us either. We're not going to get anywhere with that. For he said, number 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." So now, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to skip over to verse number 10 and 11, just for the sake of keeping it in context with unbelief. He said in verse number 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his." Speaking about us once we become believers. He said, verse number 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief."
Unbelief.
So in other words, unbelief will cause you to fall short. You will not be able to enter into the goodness, into the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, "Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again, because if you're not born again," he said, in that particular portion of scripture, "that you will not even be able to see the kingdom of God."
Right.
Now, not only with the physical eyes, but also with the spiritual, because it's more important for us to absorb this spiritually so that we can, in other words, fight against the unbelief, the untruths that are out there. The only source of truth, and you notice that I said source. The Bible is not a resource, it's the source. This is where all truth comes from.
Amen.
So listen, if we don't accept this Bible at face value and believe in our hearts fully that it is the truth, then when we are come under the attacks of the enemy, then we won't have anything to fight with. Why? Because we'll be dwelling in unbelief, just like unfaithful Israel did. And the Bible lets us know the end result of them. Many of them did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. So let's make sure that that doesn't happen to us today.
Yes. It's so important that we know that the Bible is true. And that's what we're talking about today, is the Bible trustworthy. Another thing I'd like to comment about is that not only do the visible things of creation remind us of the Creator, but we have Noah's Ark that was a refuge from the flood. God told Noah to prepare an ark, and that it would be a way that he could save him and his family. It was a divine provision. It was all about God's grace. The idea of saving Noah and his family from the destruction of the flood revealed God's favor to Noah, a man of faith. In Hebrews 11:7, the Bible declares that the God-designed ark was a place of salvation for Noah and his family. It was a divine revelation. It was all by the all-wise designer. The whole plan of the ark was supernaturally revealed to Noah by the Lord. Noah had no earlier model, yet the ark was the ideal dimension of a seaworthy vessel. What he built was not Noah's invention. The ark was God's revelation. So that is another way that we can be sure we have the evidences of the truthfulness of the Word of God, and that's because of the ark that Noah built. And then there's a rainbow that God had put in the sky, and he said that would be a reminder of things from heaven that are displayed on earth as evidences of the intervention and revelation of the only true God, the God of the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
The third evidence is the tabernacle or the temple later that was built. We're told in the book of Exodus that God showed the pattern for the tabernacle and later the temple that was built. It was a pattern on earth, displayed on earth. It was a pattern of a heavenly one.
Amen. Amen.
So we're thankful for that.
Amen. Amen.
And so the glorious temple, what remains of the temple, is a visible reminder of some things that were designed in heaven and displayed on earth as evidences of the intervention and revelation of the truth of the only true God.
Amen, amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkston. WMUV-HD4, Brunswick. And W2